Week 2, Day 2. Who are you following? Who we choose to follow has a huge influence on our lives. Our conversations, convictions, and character are all shaped by the people and ideas impressed on us. Growing up, much of who we are is influenced by the examples of parents, siblings, and friends. Today, through social media and the internet, we have access to the most influential thinkers and leaders of our time. We can follow world leaders, athletes, and cultural icons. How are these influencers shaping and impacting our lives? Of all people, Jesus Christ remains the most influential leader throughout history. His ministry continues to have a growing impact in the world today. His teachings and mission have inspired the development of schools, businesses, hospitals, and churches everywhere. Thousands of organizations draw their inspiration from Jesus, serving him and caring for people. As we consider what it means to follow Jesus, we must recognize some of the remarkable things he said. He called himself the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. As the light of the world, Jesus provides the illumination we need to see things as they really are. To live without knowing Jesus is like walking in the dark. Without his help, we are vulnerable to following the bad ideas of others and ending up quite lost. When we follow him as the light of our lives, we can see the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. Our view of the world is influenced by the realities of his presence and words. He called himself the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John 14:6. Here, Jesus clarifies how to truly find life. He's not saying that he is a way, a truth, and a life. No, he uses the definite article, the, to clarify the exclusive claim that he is the only answer. When we look at how people responded to Jesus' influence, the Bible describes four general groups. 1. First, there were his followers, the disciples. These were the ones who heard the words of Jesus and made a commitment to follow him. Jesus had a growing group of disciples throughout his ministry. Today, Jesus' disciples are called Christians. 2. Then there were his skeptics. Among this group were the religious leaders. These are the ones who heard of Jesus and his teaching but rejected him. They found him offensive and disregarded both him and his teaching. These skeptics were the ones who wanted to kill Jesus and were responsible for influencing his crucifixion. Today, there are people who reject Jesus, and like the skeptics of the first century, they trust in their own good works and abilities to save them. 3. The third group was the crowd. The crowds were more neutral, undecided, and curious. They would gather to hear what Jesus had to say but were uncommitted. Jesus preached to the crowd, inviting them to be committed to following him while warning them of judgment and complacency. Staying neutral was not an option. They would eventually have to decide whether they were for Jesus or against him. 4. Lastly, there were those who had not yet heard of Jesus. This group was important to him. Jesus and his disciples traveled all over to preach the good news to those who had not yet heard. This remains the mission of the church today. The late theologian and author C.S. Lewis identified the tension concerning the way people respond to Jesus by clarifying our options in his book, Mere Christianity. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that is Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic, on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. In other words, we can either receive what Jesus claimed, or we can reject it. but we can't try to make him into someone he wasn't. The four audiences of Jesus' teaching remain today. 1, the follower. 2, the skeptic. 3, the crowd. And 4, those yet to hear. As you work through this book, it will become clear where you are. The goal is to move closer to Jesus as a follower by getting to know more about him, his ministry, and his mission. For there is no one greater to follow in this world, and there is no better influence. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. John 1, 9-13. Reflect and apply. 1. Evaluate some people who have influenced you. Make a list and determine whether their influence was good, bad, or neutral. 2. With what group do you most closely identify? The follower, skeptic, crowd, or those yet to hear? And why? 3. Is the group you most closely identify with the one you are content to be in? What do you think would move you into a different category?